Welcome to episode 1 of The Mark of a Druid, written and read by Rhonda R. Carpenter. If you'd like more information about me, please contact me at themarkofadruid.com. Now, on to our story. Chapter 1, The Morning of. Naked, except for a tattered woolen blanket, she shivered. Dying ash-encrusted embers were all that remained of the fire. Her heavy lids fought to stay open as the haze of what she assumed was sleep slowly lessened. Realization slapped at a foggy mind as Eve forced herself to look around. This was not her house, not her fireplace. "I must be dreaming," Eve murmured, as she rubbed her eyes and fought to sit up. Her legs tingled with thousands of invisible pins and needles. Her body ached with cold stiffness. Her mind reeled. How had she come to be lying in such a curious position? On a hard-packed dirt floor? In a house she didn't even recognize. Eve's vision adjusted, and she noticed a small stack of kindling by the hearth. She reached with trembling hands and managed, after long moments, to stir the dying embers, gingerly coaxing them into tenuous flames. She fed the coals slowly. The smell of wood burning mingled with a twinge of something sweet that nagged at the fringes of Eve's mind. The syrupy taste that lingered in her mouth was indistinguishable, but quickly she let it go. There were more important things to consider. The fire flickered. A warning flashed in her mind. Too late to reconsider her hasty actions in building a fire. She wondered how long it might be until someone came to investigate. Questions closed in on her. Where was she? How did she get here? Her wrists ached all the way to the bone. She held her hands closer to the pathetic excuse for a fire and stared in disbelief at the reddened, torn skin, mingled shades of blue and green that encircled both wrists. This looks like... No, it can't be. Rope burns? Was I restrained? Or worse? What's going on? Normally manicured fingernails were split and cracked and encrusted with filth. The palms of her hands were calloused and rough. Her knees were bruised and scraped. She ran her hands down her shins. Dried blood flaked away as she rubbed the feeling back into her legs and feet. Feet that didn't look like her own. Her always smoothly shaven legs were covered in fine blondish hairs that could only have been from months of growth. It didn't seem to her that she'd been sexually assaulted, but then she was naked. Frantically, Eve scanned the room. There wasn't even a switch on the wall. Where the hell was she? The room itself was small and dark except for the flicker of a low fire in the hearth, which was doing little to light the room and more to cast huge shadows around it. There was only a single window that looked to be boarded up or heavily shuttered. Eve willed an uncooperative body to move. She pulled the blanket around her tightly, dragging herself to unsteady feet with a groan that did not do justice to the great effort of mind and muscle it took to just stand. She stepped awkwardly toward the window. The dead feeling in her legs subsided as she moved across the room. No light shone through the boards, not even from between the cracks. She wondered if it was dark outside. In the glow of the fire, she searched for something, anything recognizable. There was a small table made of dark, crudely fashioned planks. On it sat a thick candle made of deep, golden-colored wax. On the floor, across the small room, almost in the corner, was a shadowy bundle. It seemed familiar. Where had she seen it before? Her head hurt. The smell of the fire struck her as odd as she moved toward the only thing that sparked her memory. But something stopped her before she could reach that shadowy bundle. Eve found herself staring into the fire. The warmth of it was now beginning to fill the room. She let it wash over her. The unseen waves of heat warmed her near-naked body. I'd be warmer if I had my clothes. Where are they? For that matter, where am I? Everything grew foggy, then blurred, as all these questions and more swirled around her dulled brain. She felt queasy. The thrumming in her head made her dizzy. weakness swept over her, followed by a tremor of terror. This isn't right. None of this is right. Her heart pounded in her chest. Its heavy beat rang in her ears. All right, Eve, get a grip, she muttered, but even her own name felt tainted. Close your eyes, this'll all go away. As her eyes closed, fragmented remembrances flooded her mind, flashing vivid images of a violent sea, the rocking motion of being aboard ship, the smell of salt air, a crack of lightning. A man with golden eyes, a pointing finger attached to a tattooed hand, and then the taste of licorice? I've got to be dreaming, Eve, think. Yes, your name is Eve, Eve McCormick. You live in Los Angeles? Think. This is not your house, and by the looks of this place, it's not like any house you've ever seen. Eve opened her eyes in the vain hope that she would see a pristine white ceiling. But one look at the roof made it clear none of this nightmare had gone away. The ceiling was thatched. The walls were wood planking, with something stuffed between each joint. I must still be dreaming. Dreaming of waking up from a dream, so none of this is real. Please, God, tell me none of this is real. She waited. God didn't answer. Damn it. You're a scientist. Act like one. Maybe it's a lucid dream. What did that last book I read say again? If you're aware on a conscious level that you're dreaming, it's important to remember that you have control. Yeah, right. Control? Okay, so if this is a dream, all I have to do is wake myself up. The blanket was still draped over her shoulders. She closed her eyes and chanted in a low voice, Eve, wake up. Eve, wake up, you're dreaming. The internal shout rang in her ears. At that moment, there was a tugging sensation, like a fishing line pulled at her navel. The tugging became stronger and stronger. She could feel herself moving forward toward the fire. Its heat grew hotter on her skin. There was a stabbing, burning pain in her right shoulder, as if a hot poker had drilled through to her back. Eve's eyelids shot open. She was breathless. With blurred vision and a groggy mind, she focused on the clock. 5:30 a.m. Relief washed over her as she gripped the flannel sheets and down comforter for security. Her great-grandmother's wardrobe stood across the room. In the distance, through the open window, the sky grew lighter. Her cat, Cosmo, stretched and walked over her chest, as though she were part of the bed instead of his companion. Then he jumped to the floor and meowed as he looked over his shoulder at her. Eve threw back the covers to the chill of morning air. Cosmo yowled. She knew what he was thinking. If she's up, that means food. Come on, feed me. The floor was cold beneath her feet. She reached for her robe, and for an instant there seemed to be bruises and torn skin at her wrists. Eve blinked in disbelief. When she opened them again, there were no marks, but she felt a strong tingling sensation. No marks, no bruises, no calluses or broken nails. Her recently manicured nails glistened in the dawn light with the shiny clear polish that lay over 10 white French tips. She pulled on her robe and stepped into the warm slippers at the foot of her queen-size bed. That was a weird dream, cause. I need to write this one down. Eve descended the steps to the kitchen, still a bit shaken. As the cat sat at his dish, impatiently waiting for his breakfast, Eve reached for the coffee pot. Coz, you're going to have to hold on. She patted his head. I need coffee. Strong, hot coffee. I won't be going back to sleep after that. After setting up the coffee maker, she opened the can of cat food. The sound alone sent Coz into impatient meows, as though he hadn't been fed in days. She grinned as she filled his bowl. Always starving, aren't you? While the coffee was brewing, she went to find her journal. Scanning the living room, she saw it on the table. Eve sat in her favorite chair, with pen in hand. How am I going to explain this one? I dreamed of waking up from a dream in a house I didn't recognize, and was obviously from another century. I was naked, and had rope burns on my wrists. She looked down at her wrists, absent-mindedly letting her fingers stroke the areas that were still tingling. "Nope, no rope burns here," she mumbled a reassurance. Then Eve began to record everything she remembered. Still feeling disturbed by the images left swimming around in her mind, she didn't even hear the coffee pot sputter its completion. She wrote, page after page. The dream seemed so real, she thought, making one final note at the bottom of the page. Lucid dreaming, question mark. Analyze this one, exclamation point. Eve closed the journal and headed for the coffee pot. Kaz wrapped himself between her legs, almost toppling her to the kitchen floor. She reached down, picked him up, and scratched his chin, then let him sit on the counter. She poured her coffee and added just enough cream to turn the contents of the cup the perfect shade of beige. Gazing off into space, Eve finished the first cup of coffee with the vivid images sweeping through her mind. A wild ocean, amber eyes, flashes of lightning, and the taste of licorice. Then she realized the sun was completely up. The hot, steamy bathroom left the mirror clouded. A sure sign she hadn't been a drought-conscious Southern Californian today. Eve opened the door in time to hear the alarm clock sounding in the bedroom upstairs. She trotted up the steps. She wasn't one who heard the alarm clock on the first ring, and usually not even the second. The snooze bar would get a much-needed break this morning. Since she was up early, she decided she might as well get to work. With the clock silenced, her attention was drawn to the door of its audio cassette side. It was open. The tape inside was one a research partner had given her. Eve flipped the door closed. I don't remember using this. Oh, Kaz must have bumped it. She stepped into sweats, threw a t-shirt over her head, and walked across the hall to her office. Eve really considered it more of a sanctuary. She flipped on her computer and lit a candle with a smile on her face. As a clinical hypnotherapist doing research and running a private practice, Eve did a great deal of her work online. Her time was her own, and that was a freedom that not many people enjoyed. She grinned, knowing that she could never have had this kind of flexibility in a 9-to-5. The project's grant would expire in several months, so she'd cut her clinic time to 2 days a week. This left lots of time to write the research papers, correlate the data, and run the online support group that kept her private practice alive. She sat at her desk. A flash of light caught her eye, and the vivid images from that morning once again flooded her memory. She wondered at this dream, questioned its meaning. Whether it had one at all, could it have been a flicker of a past experience, or maybe some strange premonition? For as long as she could remember, a good number of her dreams had been prophetic in nature. 5 years ago, she had dreamt of the research project, and within a month, she had assembled a team and submitted the necessary grant proposals. On the other hand, maybe what happened meant nothing at all. With a strained, conscious effort, Eve pushed the memory out of her mind. She savored her coffee as the computer booted up. Cosmo made himself comfortable on top of the monitor. His pale orange-ringed tail slowly swayed from side to side, then hung in the center of the screen. "Kaz, would you like to get your tail out of the way?" Eve chided as she lifted his tail and tucked it around him. She could only hope that it would stay where she'd put it. Responding to email was always the start of her workday. She just never knew who was going to be interested in her work. The requests for information about the project had primarily come from the United States. However, she had been concentrating the website's advertising to target the United Kingdom in hopes of expanding the diversity of participants. "Well, Kaz, it looks like a good day. The bulk is from the UK. The new search engine submission seems to be working." Eve responded to the email, sending the standard forms that would need to be completed, with an explanation of the project. She figured out of the 20 requests for information, the research team would probably end up with 5 good candidates, maybe less. When enough interest was generated, a trip overseas would be scheduled. Her spirits lifted at the thought. She clicked the icon that opened her computer journal and made a few notes. This was a daily habit she'd started along with the project. After thousands of hypnotic past life regressions, the group was much closer to an explanation now than at the start of the project 5 years ago. Things were different then. Eve had just finished her degree. She and David were still together. She was sure then that it would be easy to prove that past life experiences were just an alternative way for the subconscious mind to deal with everyday life. However, the group had actually confirmed the existence of about 15% of the regressions completed to date. That was an astounding number. The work was always interesting, but lately it was becoming more and more exciting. The confirmations were founded in facts, names, dates, locations, birth and death records. These had all repeatedly verified the experiences in a significant number of participants. The work was profound, there was no doubt about that. Integration of past life experiences was now a big part of the work. While it was unnecessary for the project's success, it seemed to clearly help the clients, giving them insights into their daily lives. With her notes in order, she did a quick review. There seems to be a common thread between the subject's present life situations and what comes forward during a regression. Sometimes it seems as if the subconscious mind is accessing a huge database of lifetimes, and other times the information that comes through is vague and symbolic. I don't foresee any major problems with our funding being extended. Not the grants, anyway. Just in case, we should start working on the funding process next month. She glanced at the clock. It was almost 10, and there was just enough time to grab another cup of coffee before she had to get dressed. She walked down the steps to the kitchen and poured the last of the day's caffeine, then stroked the cat. Kaz seemed to think she was going to feed him again. The little savage had the appetite of a tiger instead of a short-haired American feline. When he realized she wasn't going to refill the bowl, his tail shot into the air and he stormed off with a meow. Eve trotted back up the steps, thinking, who needs a stairmaster? She opened her organizer and checked the schedule for this afternoon. Clinic time till 7 or so was blocked out. This is going to be a long day, she murmured, dropping the organizer into her briefcase at the door. The screensaver scrolled a random affirmation on her screen. Today, I listen to my inner wisdom, trusting it to lead me where I need to go. She laughed. As long as it leads me home. The little doorbell sound on her computer signaled a new email. She clicked the icon for mail and read, Dear Ms. McCormick, I recently read your outstanding article on the Past Life Research Project. I'd be quite interested in participating. Please send the information necessary and advise as to how I could take part in the study. I very much look forward to your response. Cheers, Ryerson Sanders. Eve typed a fast response, attached the standard forms to an outgoing email, and clicked the send button. She watched the tiny blue arrow on the screen disappear, reappear, and then disappear completely. She shut down the computer and walked to the bedroom to dress for the clinic. For the 2 days a week she saw research subjects, a suit was a requirement. Well, Kaz, what do you think? The long navy blue jacket with the light gray pants? I know, you could care less. She smiled down at her furry friend, knowing that she would not get a response, but feeling the need to talk to someone other than herself. She'd been so lonely without David around. All the hostility he exuded since their breakup made working with him uncomfortable. Eve twisted her long sandy hair into a French knot as she walked outside. She locked the metal screen door and stepped off the porch. Then she heard the telephone ring. Shit. Just my luck. She dropped the briefcase, stuck the key in the lock, and twisted until the door swung open. She ran for the telephone, smacked her shin on the corner of the chair, and cursed under her breath. She hopped across the living room on one foot and grabbed the receiver. This is Eve McCormick. May I help you? She sputtered through clenched teeth. She heard the most attractive English accent. Yes, yes, you most certainly may. My name is Ryerson Sanders. I am quite interested in your research project. I received your return correspondence today via email and thought I'd save us both some time and ring you up. Why do they always think they can save time by calling? I'll still have to review the forms before I make a decision, she thought. Of course, yes, I remember your email. You're in the UK, right? Wales, actually. I've a business trip scheduled for Southern California. The end of March, you see. Excuse me, Mr. Sanders, for interrupting, but have you completed the forms and sent them back yet? No, not at all. I'm currently working on the forms and study profile that you so kindly provided. I'll have them returned to you within the hour. Would you be interested in setting up a series of regressions with me during my upcoming stay? Hold on one moment, Mr. Sanders. I'll get my organizer. Eve rolled her eyes. She set the receiver down and hobbled for the briefcase that she dropped on the porch, pulled out the organizer, and went back to the phone. The last 3 weeks in March, she muttered, flipping through the pages. I'm not available until almost the middle of the month. Are you planning on being in Los Angeles for long? I will be arriving in Los Angeles on the 10th and will be staying through the 8th of April, and then it's back home. I must tell you, I don't normally set appointments without reviewing the forms first, but since you're calling from halfway around the world, if you'd prefer to wait, it's not a problem, Ms. McCormick. I'm just extremely interested in the subject and feel I may be a good candidate, or at the very least, a good subject. There was something in his tone, a sense of urgency that struck her as eerie. Or maybe it was familiar. She wasn't sure. All right, then, Eve said. Let's set up the first session tentatively for the 15th at 2 p.m. I'll review your forms and study profile tonight. If you meet the criteria, I'll send you a set of dates. Will that be okay with you? 2 o'clock on the 15th is smashing. Thank you for your time. Great, then I'll email you tonight and we can go from there. Have a wonderful day, night, rather, Mr. Sanders. It was nice to speak with you. As Eve put the receiver back into the cradle and walked out the door, once more the dream flooded into her mind. There was a flash of lightning, and a dark-haired man with golden eyes hovered at the edge of her memory. She shook it off, trying to clear the image, but it hung there, strong and vivid. He had chiseled features, glaring golden eyes, black, wild, and wind-blown hair. With a swift intake of breath, Eve shook her head again, intent on thinking of anything but him. But there he was again. This man frightened her. He excited her, and his image captivated her. She climbed into the Ford Explorer. Its engine purred as she drove up the street. The intensity that woke her swept through her mind again and again. The long hour-and-a-half drive to the valley was spent in creeping gridlock traffic. No matter what she did, she was unable to shake the feeling of dread, confusion, and helplessness that this dream had left in its wake. She flipped on the radio and rifled through her briefcase, finding nothing to occupy her mind. She even rolled down the window and took a few deep breaths. Then Eve gave up and allowed the images to drift in and out of conscious thought. Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of The Mark of a Druid, and stop back again. Pick up the next episode at rhondacarpenter.com or themarkofadruid.com. So until next time, thanks and take care.